Talking football this week with Dr. Debbie Strowman, the host of If You Only Knew, right here on 97.9 The Hill, with a lot going on in the sports world. Tar Heel football not playing this weekend as that game against Charlotte got canceled. Still looking to schedule another opponent for the bye week. We're only 2 weeks in. A lot of shakeups to the schedule so far, although on the field it's still been pretty good for the Tar Heels, at least one game in. Debbie Strowman joining us on the phone. Thank you so much for being with us today. What are your thoughts?
Thank you. Well, I'm thinking about the coaches. You know, we have a priority to take care of the health and safety of our students, of our student athletes. But I'm thinking about how challenging it must be for Coach Brown and his staff to devote so much. And I know it's by their own choice, but to devote so much time and energy and trying to prepare the men, the young men, for a very, very unpredictable season. And then you finally make it to game one. Everybody's trying to, you know, get through the kinks and, you know, things that they weren't able to spend a lot of time on in practice. And you get through game one, you know, you had some highlights, you had some things that you definitely want to work on, and you're ready to go into game two, and then it's canceled. And what that must be like to not only deal with your own demands, as in trying to make sure that you still have a coaching staff that's motivated and, you know, working on identifying another opponent and game plans and how you prepare for this when one student, you know, might not be ready because of previous practices, wasn't able to practice or didn't practice well. But then you've got to convince your athletes to hang in there, to be motivated. And so it's just a lot for the coaches right now. And I just, you know, I lift them up in prayer, but it's just a very, very difficult thing that we're all going through. And I know there are people who are still questioning myself, even why are we trying to make this happen? Because when you think about not testing for positive, not testing positive, but we still don't know the long-term effects of this and when it's going to show up. So those are my initial thoughts.
You're connected with a lot of coaches in the sports world. Have you spoken to them? What are their thoughts?
Well, they're keeping things close. Certainly, it's a time now where trust, you know, that word is really, really important in academia. It's definitely important in sports as well. Who do you trust? Do you trust your local media that's there not only to be unbiased, but also to try not to hurt the brand? Who do you trust? Administrators on your campus, those who support you and will show up and bring their best donors and friends to the games, but in on the other side of their breath, they're talking about how athletics is a disturbance. It's a nuisance. It interferes with their day-to-day job, and it just sends a poor signal, you know, in terms of the prestige of a university. You know, do you trust the medical staff? And in fact, we can just use the example nationally. Who do we trust? You know, we thought the CDC is our foremost authority of public health, and yet we've got CDC people who are leaking and telling stories about how they've been pressured to do X, Y, Z. And as opposed to saying, I'm not going to do it and risk the sacrifice of losing a job or, you know, being that whistleblower, instead, they just conform. And then later on, they try and sneak something out. This is not what we meant. And then thinking about NIH, you know, again, you know, our leading, I think it's what, 27, 28 institutes in all these different fields. And people aren't sure on who to believe and who to trust. And yes, it happens right on our college campuses. And yes, with sports.
As you mentioned that with the CDC, and I was thinking about conversations that I'm sure you and I had conversations to this effect while this was going on, but I had this conversation with a number of different people here on the air about Carol Folt when she was chancellor at UNC, and the Silent Sam issue was very much front and center. And you knew that she knew what needed to be done with that issue, but you also knew that she knew that taking that step was definitely going to cost her job. And it's very, Like, it's easy to stand outside and say, well, you should do this even at the expense of your job. But it becomes a lot harder when it's your job that's on the line. And, you know, ultimately it got done, but it was a lot later than I think a lot of us were hoping it would be.
That is exactly it. It's a big risk reward for anybody who says, I'm going to stand for humanity. I'm going to stand for justice. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stand for truth. And you have to weigh, can you sleep at night? Or this will be something that, what is the pebble in your shoe or a boulder around your neck that will bother you for the rest of your life if you don't speak up? You know, that's the question. And in fact, right now, when we think about health and we think about corona, or if we think about racial matters, you know, this other pandemic that's happening in our country, how many people will stand up and say, I've had enough and I'm not going to turn my eyes to it. I'm not going to turn my back to it, that I'm going to call out my colleagues who are acting unjustly. I'm going to speak up when I see something that's happening, not once, but twice, but repeatedly, and it's wrong, and people are being harmed, or people are dying. And so I think that's another aspect of all of this. And certainly with sport, we never thought that we talk about life and death matters, but that is the unknown of the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, well, we're going to bring our children back to school because we don't have a lot of deaths. What if they're harmed? What about their lungs? What about their heart? What's going to happen years from now? We just don't know. And so that is that big risk reward. And I've certainly, you know, I'm the first person who say that, you know, our government should be helping out. I mean, this is why we pay taxes. You know, this is why when we have something like this, that we all can step in and help one another. And I just continue. I won't say I'm surprised, but it's still very, very disturbing why we can't figure something out to take care of our business owners. And I'm not talking about the multi-million-dollar corporate conglomerates, but to help our business owners, to help those people who can't afford to do the homeschooling and, you know, hire somebody to come in and do X, Y, Z and all of that. This is why we pay our taxes. This is why we have communities. It's just really, really sad that we're in a place where so many people are struggling due to something that's out of our control.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman and taking that thought and bringing it back to football, you mentioned that, you know, so much has happened in the last just couple of weeks, really, that is disturbing but not surprising. And that's kind of what we're getting in terms of the college football world, that, you know, games are getting canceled, games are getting postponed and delayed, rescheduled. Some players are coming down with the virus. With Charlotte, no one's coming down with the virus, but other people that they know are, so now they're in quarantine. Like, all of this is to be expected in the midst of a pandemic, so it's not necessarily a surprise that this is happening. But how much disruption is tolerable in a typical college football season? Like, how much can we take of this before we start thinking maybe postpone until a later date?
Well, that's the magic question. And right now it seems like for most administrators, they're saying we're going to take it as far as we can, mm-hmm, before the wheels, you know, fall off the car. You know, right now the engine is, you know, smoking and it's, you know, backfiring, and, you know, the steering, we've lost our automatic steering, right? And people are concerned. We're opening up the windows, the rooftop and everything, trying to get some fresh air, trying to breathe. But still the car is just chugging along. But eventually, will it just come to a screeching halt? You know, or will there be some type of disaster where everything just blows up? I think that's what we're testing right now. I'm glad there are a lot of people who still have not forgotten from day one, when we realized that we were in a pandemic and it was affecting the United States at alarming rates. People right then put a stake in the ground and say, let's not go any further. And those people are still out there and still saying we need to stop. We need to just halt everything until we get this under control, whether or not it's a vaccination or some other type of safety or health measure that we could do. But then there are others who say, well, let's just keep trying to have a semblance of normalcy, mm-hmm, during this time period. And I really believe that those sentiments are tied to the fact that it's all about money. And since certain people have a lot of money in this country, and I'm not trying to judge whether or not you got it due to your own hard work, which I think that's always debatable because no one who has a lot of money in this country did it by themselves. If you have a major corporation, your dad, you know, gave it to you and, you know, you passed it on and all of that, you still needed to move your products and services through this country. And that meant that you were using other people's labor, other people's time and energy. And whether that's transportation and using the highways and byways, whether it's using manufacturing to put something together, nobody becomes a superstar. Nobody becomes very, very wealthy with their own, you know, doing. And so that's why we have to have community, and that's why we have to look out for one another and try and step back and just ask more questions and think, is there a way that we can have, you know, community in the midst of a pandemic?
Got to wrap up speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman. Final thoughts out of all this?
Well, I don't know if I'm hopeful that they find another team to play the Tar Heels. I think, again, it's an opportunity for us to be more reflective. And I know young people, they just want to go, go, go. They want to play. But, again, who are the adults in the room and helping them to see that this is an opportunity that they can still work out their body, you know, and develop their body. They can work on their mental health and certainly academics. That's number one. So I think we just put so much into our college sports, in particular football and men's basketball, that when it's absent, we just feel like, you know, everything's wrong in the world. And I think we have to get some perspective back. And this is speaking from someone who played Division I athletics, loves it, loves the Tar Heels, loves the ACC. But, you know, we've got to have perspective.
Listen to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill weekends every single week at the archive on our website, chapelboro.com. Dr. Debbie Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.